Well, maybe we should start again. I think most of you are here this afternoon, but maybe I should just say once again that my name is Tom Berger, and this is the Alaska Native Review Commission, and we're here to see what the people in New Halen and Nundalton and Illiamna and the other villages around here have to say about the land claim settlement of 1971. So I hope that you'll feel free to speak tonight, just as you did this afternoon, about the land claims, subsistence, the corporations, about 1991, the shares, about the children, and about the future. And as I told you, we're taking down everything that people say on tape and having it typed up so there will be a permanent record of what Alaska Natives have said in testimony at these meetings. And we've been to 54 villages over the last year, and we've heard from over 1,200 Alaska Natives who've testified, and there's a permanent record of everything that is said. We'll be finished these hearings in another few weeks, and I'm going to write a report about ANCSA in 1991 and subsistence, sovereignty, all these issues. And I'll make recommendations that I hope will be helpful to Alaska Natives in planning what they're going to do. And as I said, I'll be making recommendations to Native people in other countries so that they can learn from what has happened in Alaska. I don't represent the federal government or the state of Alaska. My report goes to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People, and they will be submitting it to the United Nations, but I am going to make sure that all of you get a copy, and I'll be sending it to everybody who's testified at these hearings, as well as to your city and your village council and your corporation and your school in each village. So maybe we could start with some questions that you handed me. I'll just read these out and answer them. Could I have your name, sir? The question one is, when we were a territory, did the native people have more or less land? If we had more land when we were a territory, and they used part of that land for state parks and federal military bases and highways, were we paid for the land? And if not, how come? Well, before the Russians and the Americans came, the native people owned all the land in Alaska. Gradually, they had land taken from them by the Russians, then by the Americans, the federal government, the state government. But they were never paid for that land. And when ANCSA was passed in 1971, it said that the $962.5 million that you got then was to pay you for all the land that had ever been taken from you. So you can't really get paid now for the land they took for military bases and parks and highways. But of course, if they were to take some of your native corporation land now, they'd have to pay you. And then your second question is, do we have any rights over the state land connected to village or regional corporation land? Well, when you have state land that is next to native corporation land, you don't have any rights over it, except the rights to use it for subsistence that you have under state and federal law. But that depends on state and federal law, and your rights are based on state and federal law. So once you reach the end of your own native corporation land and you're moving on to state land, you have only the rights that the state gives you. All those were good questions, so good way to start. So, would somebody like to, now that I've read those questions of yours and answers, would you like to come up and ask any more or tell me your views? well, anyone who'd like to speak, if you wouldn't mind coming up here, it makes it a little easier for everybody to hear you. We have that mic that we can take around to your seat, but just see if some folks would like to speak from here. Well, it took a while to get going this afternoon, but 20 people spoke this afternoon, so didn't seem like that many at the time, but
if our parents have land and non-native built on it, could they take it away from them?
Yeah, if your parents have an allotment and non-native or anybody goes and builds on the land, you can tell them to leave. Same with a native corporation land. If it's your parents' land, then nobody can build on it without their permission. And if they do build, they have to get off. If your native corporation has property, if nobody has land, nobody else can come on without their permission.
What if they don't have papers to show it's their land, and could they still take it away from them?
Oh, well, that's different. If it's land that they have traditionally used, but they don't have a native allotment, then it's difficult to go to court and ask the court for a court order to have other people leave. You don't have any proof of title. Now, I know that your parents may have used the land for a long, long time, but if they didn't apply for a native allotment before December 18th, 1971, then they can't get an allotment. That's one of the things ANCSA did. It said, after 1971, there will be no more native allotments given to anybody. And so if you didn't get it, your papers filed before December 18th, 1971, you can't get a native allotment. And maybe that's what happened in your parents' case.
Well, I have more, but I'll...
Okay. Roseanne, you give testimony this afternoon, I think.
Well, Albert Wesley back again. I'm glad all the kids that came down with me had some questions that I made them. When they came, some didn't know what they were coming down here for, so I told them, if you can come down, ask questions. The only way to do is ask questions. That's what I did in every meeting. I asked more and more questions, and I learned a little bit more on that. I never went to this Alaska Native Review Commission, but I like to speak on it for the future of our generation. For the Alaska Native Review in the future, I like to see it strengthen the unity among the native villages, not only the native village but the entire region. Like New Hale and Iliamna, all the villages in this area, to have more unity, get together more and work together to ensure adequate Native participation in political, economic, and social institutions which we deem relevant, and to promote greater self-sufficiency in the region, and to ensure the endurance and the growth of culture and societies for both present and future generations, and to promote wise management and use of non-renewable resource in the region, and incorporating such resource in the present and future development of economics, taking native interests, and numerous implications as a consequence of Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act that affect Alaskan Native socially, culturally, economically, politically, and environmentally, and use issues demand immediate attention to protect Native interest. I'm interested in the future for our young generation. And this is the thing that the schools, the class in school should really have, like Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, more and more in the school, so that they would know more about the land claims and the cultures that we are forgetting. And I am glad that this meeting will get the younger generation's interest.
Sorry. Thank you again, Mr. Wesley.
My name is Awasi Baludam. I'm from New Haven here. I'm actually from the North Native Corporation president. And I missed most of the meetings today, but what I'm interested in, I understand the review commission's interest in people's input on whether how they feel about the land claims and what direction do you want to see it go in the future.
Right.
And, whether it's working or not working in the way it is right presently.
Exactly.
Right.
You said you were president of
Nundalton Native Corporation.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. Please, I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, well, for ourselves, you know, we're the land claims is a new thing, and since 1971, people really don't understand the whole issue of the Land Claim Settlement Act. It's a new political arm of the Native culture. Before, the people around this whole area just roamed the country, just like the caribous and moose. Ever since Land Claim Settlement Act came in effect, we have boundaries put around all our villages. And we have just certain areas now we go to. If we go outside those areas, then we're trespassing on somebody else's land. And this is a new thing, and I'm sure the younger generation and the old people want to speak up, but they're afraid to say anything. And this, what I want to hear from everybody is whether are they satisfied with Land Claim Settlement Act, or they satisfied with how everything's going with the cash settlement and with the land that they got. And for ourselves, our older people, they say they don't want to lose their land, which I don't blame. Nobody don't want to lose the land. Land isn't anything. The cash that you got settled for is nothing compared to what we have in our land. We stayed in Alaska here for thousands of years before any white man or anybody came in this whole area. And I'm sure, whatever, since the Land Claim Settlement Act came in effect, they only put the people on born to 71. And right now we're worried about, like Albert Wesley said, but the younger generation. For myself, I would like to see the Land Claim Settlement Act work some way where we could see the afterborn come on with the Land Claim Settlement Act, because they're the ones future we're fighting for right now. We'll be all dead by the time this thing's all settled in 100 years. And the afterborn is the one we're going to have to look after. And for our corporations, we have lands. We value our lands very much, because that's what we live off, subsistent off, and also economically, like Mr. Wesley said, we trap and whatever we can make off the land. When we value our land very much. And for myself, I think the Land Claim Settlement Act is not working. There's something wrong with it. We tried, in my corporation, we try to do some subdivisions, and we get all different kind of people come in and say they want to subdivide your land, you'll make some money, but that's not working either. You get so much cash, you spend so much, and you're going to have to sell more land, which you don't want to sell no land. Nobody don't want to sell no land, but whatever cash we had, they said you have to make it work for your corporation. You get maybe $1 million for a big village, and $1 million go anywhere nowadays. And nobody don't want the money, they want to keep their land. I'm sure that's how all the people feel, because after 1991, I think for myself, I would like to see some legislation passed to extend the Land Claim Settlement Act, at least another 20 years. Because 20 years isn't long enough, already 15 years passed. And a lot of the people in the whole region, Bristol region, don't even realize what's happening. By 1991, it's going to be too late. And if it goes on presently and everything goes according to the timetable set, by the time 1991 comes around, we're going to have to be selling our stocks and land. Maybe we'll even be taxed out of it. And we don't want this. For myself, I would like to see some legislation to extend at least another 20 or 50 years, whatever it takes, and re-educate our young generation and to be a landlord, real estate owners. Everybody's looking to the natives right now to try to buy the land out or try to have some buyouts, and I'm sure there's companies with a lot of monies, the corporations, standing in line to, you know, for the year when 1991 comes around to grab our lands. For myself, I don't want to see this. I have some children coming up. I want to have some future for them. And I'm sure everyone feels the same way. And I would like to hear more from the younger generation, see how they feel, and even the old people, whether they're satisfied with the Land Claim Settlement Act or are they dissatisfied. For myself, I'm the president for Native Corporation. I'm very dissatisfied with the way it's working. I think we should have more time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Hi, I'm Sally Moses. I don't belong to any of the corporations here, but I belong to Chulista Corporation. I'm real nervous. My biggest question is, when the Alaska Native Land Claims Act was settled, the reason behind it was number one, land, and we got the land that we wanted, and I think in 1991 it should still stay the land, and let me settle down here. What have they come up with within the other corporations within the state of Alaska, and maybe also you might have come up with some ideas on how to preserve the land that we would still own by 1991 without losing any of it?
Well, there's a lot of ideas, but
what are some of the bigger ones that?
Well, there's the two main ideas are. The first is to get Congress to pass a law that says Alaska Natives can't sell their shares even after 1991, so that just as the last witness suggested, postpone 1991 for another 20 years or 50 years or whatever, then things stay like they are now. That is, you can't sell your shares, so nobody can take over the ownership of your corporations. You still own them.
How does that look as far as you're concerned? I mean, is it possible that something like that could happen?
Well, that's one possibility. I don't think it's quite that simple, but it has one drawback, that if your corporation goes broke, and your creditors I'm not suggesting any of these corporations are going to go broke, but some have come pretty close. If you go broke, your corporation goes broke, then the creditors, whoever you owe money to, the bank, whatever, they can come in and take your land. You're still the only shareholders in the corporation. Corporation just doesn't have any more land. That's one of the problems. The other problem is, if you extend the 1991, that means you'd extend the provision that says you can't tax undeveloped land. But essentially, the idea is to impose restrictions on the sale of shares, so people can't sell their shares. Now, the other idea is to separate the land from the corporations. That is, if the corporations might go broke and lose the land that way, or if they might be taken over by outsiders from Anchorage or Seattle or someplace, and you lose the land by losing control of the corporation, or if you lose the land because you can't pay the taxes on it. So the other idea is to take the land and transfer it from the corporation to an IRA government or a traditional village council on the basis that the land would be safe there, since you can't an IRA government or a traditional council can't be taken over by outsiders. It's a native institution and can't be taxed ordinarily by the state. That's really what the... Now, there's a lot of other choices in between, but...
I guess my biggest concern is, you know, when ANCSA first came about, our biggest concern was land, and it really demolishes the act if the land is disposed of in the hands of a real estate agent or the bank that we borrowed money against. I was just wondering about ideas that they had come up with.
Well, we've been visiting villages all over the state. This is the 55th village, and we've been asking people like yourselves, what is it you want to see in the future? You know, do you want to keep your land? Are you concerned about subsistence? Do you want the children to participate in the settlement somehow? And people say yes to just about all of these questions. So that's the main thing I want to know. I said that in my report, which you'll have in September, I will make my recommendations about what I think is the best way to protect the land.
After this program is over with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not right now.
Not this minute,
yeah.
No.
I was just curious.
But those are the two main ideas that people in the villages are talking about. One is restrictions on the shares, keep the land with the corporation, but restrict the sale of shares, or two, move the land from the corporation to tribal government. I mean, that's what, everywhere we go, that's what people are talking about, one or the other, or sometimes both.
It sure took a lot to get that ANCSA. I mean, it did take a lot, and I just hate to see it become demolished, like possibly in the future. I don't know.
Yes, well, as
it's a scary deal.
Yeah. Well, changes, I think, have to be made. People are going to have to do something because if there are no changes made, I think, some of the men here today were saying that the shares would go the way of limited entry permits. And that's... As Sally Moses said, that's kind of scary. Yes?
Yeah, well,
come up.
Well, from your traveling around to 50-some villages, what's the feeling on the afterborns?
It's unanimous. They want the afterborns to have the same rights as everybody else. That is, to give them shares or to do whatever is necessary so they can participate fully. I mean, I've pointed out in every village that if you give shares to the afterborns, that dilutes the value of your shares. Your shares are worth less.
Regardless, if it's worth less, I would rather have it worth less than give it to, you know, not them have it participate in the corporations for myself.
Well, let's... That's what just about everybody else in the other villages is saying, same as you.
Because I think the more shares we give out, it'll be a lot harder to buy a lot of corporations out because you have a lot of shares out. You can put price on your shares.
Yeah, that's a point. That's a point.
And also on your travels, why you talk about the IRA councils, which is... the village councils, and they're stronger than probably the native corporations. If you put your something like a land bank, talk about a land bank too, I think.
Yeah, well, under right now, under ANILCA, under the amendments to ANCSA that were passed in 1980, you can put the land in a land bank, but that doesn't protect it from a corporate takeover. You put the land in the land bank, and somebody takes over your corporation, well, then it's their land, and it's their problem to get it out of the land bank. But the land bank, the idea of the land bank is to protect the land from taxation. But it doesn't protect the land against corporate takeover.
IRA would.
We've had some experts from... the Lower 48 in Alaska come to Anchorage to talk about that, and And David Case, who is the legal advisor to this commission, mm-hmm. has written the book on Alaska Natives and the Law. And his view is that an IRA government would protect the land from taxation. But the IRA thing isn't a simple, straightforward business. There are problems about federal supervision and some other things that mean that it, while there are advantages to the IRA, there are disadvantages too. But at least people are talking about different ideas. And
I think there were some people not too long ago went down to Washington, D.C. from the Alaska Federation of Native to introduce some legislation, but...
Well, I think that representatives of the AFN went to Washington last month mm-hmm. to simply to tell some of the senators and congressmen that Alaska Natives were going to be proposing some changes. I don't know any more about it than that, but I think they did meet some of them and said we're going to need some changes.
Yep. Well, I guess there is a lot of concern about ANSCA, and it's very important that people speak up, because the more testimony we get, the better you'll have, the better case you will have for backing up your mm-hmm. review commission. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there with some good ideas, and they're just a little afraid to speak up, but I wouldn't be afraid to speak up to say anything, you know, how they feel, whether they think it's working or not. And I'm sure it's not working for a lot of people, but they're just afraid to speak up. Even in our meeting in our villages, we have meetings and people don't speak up until after the meetings, which is too late. Anytime there's a meeting or testimony, you can have to speak up. If you don't speak up, you're not going to get on the record.
Roseanne, what could we do to protect our parents' land from non-natives after 1971?
Well, I think that's the question you asked before. That's a tough one, because if they don't have their certificate of native allotment, it's pretty hard to protect the land.
How about if it was given to you by your corporation?
Oh, well, if it was land that was given to you by your corporation, then you should have the papers to show that it's now your land, and that should be make it easy to kick somebody off who shouldn't be there.
Oh, that's all I wanted to know. Okay, thank you.
I think Schitz is getting interest in they're wondering if their parent died, and they're wondering what their lands were like, allotment or something. They didn't know that the parents have to give the will to their kids before they get that land.
Well, if the parents die without a will, the land would still go to the kids.
Right. And my question, like the lady said, this Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act probably demolished. It probably will if we don't work right. That's where we have to work together with all the corporations. Work together. If we, if that Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act demolished, then they take the land. Well, we're using that as collateral. So, that means we have to work harder and have more inputs from everybody in the corporation, in different corporations. Then we probably hang on a little longer.
I was wondering, Mr. Baluta, if I could ask you, if you didn't, a little more about your corporation, and I think if you're able to tell me, how many shareholders in Nundalton Corporation?
We have 257, I think, yeah.
And about how many, do you know approximately how many live in
Nundalton?
Nundalton, and how many live in outside, I mean Anchorage? Or
well,
something?
We have probably about a third of them living outside of the village right now, about a third of the people.
And what's the corporation, when Congress set this up, they thought that the corporations would be able to provide jobs to the native people and that they would be able to pay dividends and provide a stream of income to the native people. And some village corporations have been able to do that. Some haven't. Most of them haven't, actually. But how is yours made out? What business is it in? Can you tell me?
Well, right now we're in the fuel business. We're providing fuel for the power that's lighting up this gym here right now, to the power system down here. And we also are subdividing some land up called Keys Point up in Lake Clark, in a preserve.
We read about that, didn't
right.
we?
Yes.
In Anchorage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hit the headlines.
I remember it.
Yeah.
And anything else?
Well, we tried the other little thing too, but we sold on a lot of things. And a lot of things doesn't work because the amount of money you get and the management that you get in your corporations, you have to have the right kind of people, and people are going to have to be interested in doing this work, because if you don't get your own people to run the business, that's why it seems like it gets out of hand. And I think that's where the fallback on a lot of the villages and all the corporations that deform, or any kind of business you get into, because the natives are not really oriented into any kind of business enterprise, because we have been brought up in that kind of environment, which it makes it real tough, because right now there are a lot of kids that are going to school and they're learning these, and especially the old people, you know, the board of directors are, you know, somebody talk them into some kind of a sweet business and they get into it, and next thing you know they're flat on their back, because it's been misrepresented. And I think that's where a lot of problems are coming into all the corporations. Even the regional corporation, we have the same problem. You know, a lot of people come in there and say, buy a hotel and buy this and buy that, and next thing you know, you're down the tube. And you got everything collateralized, and you just have to fight for your life for your corporation. And I think that's where a lot of problems are, because, like I say, natives are not really business-oriented. The old timers especially, but the younger generation are getting into all this computers and everything else, where they can probably manage some small business for the corporations. Mm-hmm. And actually for this area, when the land claim, some of that came, when they were first started in 1970, I don't think there's one hearing this whole region here about land claim settlement. Next thing we know is that in 1971, you have a corporation, which is a surprise to everybody, you know. That's no kidding. You can ask this whole region here, they didn't hold one hearing about us being, they were going to give us some land and everything, the whole Bristol Bay region here. I don't think there was one, up in the lake area here, we're the last people to find out whether they're going to be doing something to our lands. And up in the Eliamna Lake, Lake Clark region, we didn't have one hearing on the land claim settlement act, I don't think. And if we did, why, there were some people here, came down, probably when everybody's fishing in July, and I think for Nondalton especially, I think there was about seven people there, made a decision, somebody said.
Does your corporation employ any shareholders? Are there any jobs for shareholders?
We have some people on employment. They were very limited amount right now because our business is not very big, the fuel businesses, because mostly we have more employed during summer months because in winter months it's way down.
Why are there more in summer?
Because you have more activities. And fuel business, you know, we send a lot of fuel.
Oh, for the fishing fleet?
Mm-hmm. For the planes, airplane, we provide fuel for the homes and the aircraft fuel.
Oh, I see. And what about dividends? Has the Nondalton Corporation been able to pay any dividends over the years?
No, we haven't had any turn any profit for any dividends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can you take the other mic over?
What about insurance?
The only thing we're doing right now, we're providing insurance for the old people, for all the people in the corporation right now. We insured all our shareholders. And
what, life insurance or what?
Life insurance. And the corporation is the beneficiaries. And if there's a death, then the families get $1,500 funeral expense, plus the next of kin gets so much a month out of that insurance back to the families. And all the old people over 65, $100 a month.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, that's... When the old people get 100 a month when they're over 65, does that affect their eligibility for any federal or state programs?
Yeah, we checked into that, and I think that was it wouldn't interfere with that. They only get $1,200 a year anyway out of $100.
Yeah, so you're not paying dividends, but you actually have got this insurance program, and,
right?
The program for the elderly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got the insurance program for everybody.
Yeah.
All the shareholders.
Well, one other question I have is about the Keys Point project. I don't know why, but when we read about that in the paper, it kind of left the impression that you were going to make a lot of money out of that. You indicated earlier that it hadn't produced any profits yet.
Well, I think so far we got